You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
All right, welcome everybody to Here District. I'm the captain of this vessel, and this has been a tumultuous journey, to say the least. The SS, the good ship Lollipop, or whatever you want to call it. My first mate, Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, Marcus Johnson, for the benefit of our guests. We're the only father and son tandem to host a radio show in New York and Florida. No. We're the only father and son tandem to win a national championship at the same school. NCAA basketball history, UCLA,
yes,
Chris in
1995,
me in 1975. All right, so our guest, Chris Russo, Christopher Russo, a.k.a. Mad Dog. Welcome, man. We appreciate you. We're blessed to have you. Thank you for stopping by the Here District, man. Thank you so much.
You got it. Johnson Squared. Marcus, I loved your old man, Chris. Love your old man. What a classy player.
I heard he wasn't bad, Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah. he shows you the tapes.
And he also, beta.
That's Wooden's last year. So he's
yes,
got
sir.
Wooden's last year there.
Sure, yeah.
At UCLA when they won a title in San Diego. I was a big Marcus fan. And those Bucks teams were good teams. They should have been, you know, they were unlucky because they always had that one team that was, you know, just a touch better, whether it was Philadelphia, the Celtics. Yeah. Seattle that one year. Marcus, you lost a tough series in Seattle in seven games. I go through it the whole nine yards. Anyway, how we doing?
Yeah, we're doing great, man. We appreciate you. And a quick story, Mad Dog. You know, we were talking about bringing you on today, and I knew you from your ESPN work, but it didn't really register until I was talking with Chris this morning. I was like, what's his background in TV? He said, Dad, you know, he and Mike Francesco, you know, they hosted the show on The Fan in New York. I'm like, oh. That Mad Dog. Okay.
Wow.
Oh.
The legend.
Yeah, and I think you guys were simulcasted on
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I used to watch you and listen to you, man. So just when he said that, it really resonated. And, you know, it's amazing. And that was, what, in the 80s when you guys started out doing that show?
Mike and I started in 89, and we saw the simulcast, Marcus, in, I think it was in 06.
Right.
Maybe in 03. And I left in 08. So I was there Mike and I together for 19 years, five and a half hours a day. You thought you got tired of Richard Washington. That's a long time.
Yeah.
With the two of us, you know, and again, FAN was the, you know, it was the forerunner of sports talk because most stations were not doing 24-hour sports talk. And FAN was the first to really give it a go. They began in July 4th weekend of 87. And I got there in December of 88. Mike had gotten there parts and parcel before that. And they put us on together right after Bart Giamatti passed away, then the baseball commissioner in Martha's Vineyard. So the Monday after Labor Day weekend, or the Tuesday, in 1989, which is a long time ago, believe it.
Long time ago. Just quickly, what's your favorite sport? If you had to pick and choose,
I mean, NFL football.
Okay.
I mean,
everybody
else, I'd have to say NFL football. I love the baseball because my favorite team was always the San Francisco Giants.
I saw that.
The relationship I had with San Francisco was 1A. And I love the Packers, too, in football. But the Giants and my association with that team probably is the closest team I've ever had.
Right.
But as far as a week-to-week basis, especially now, since we're so football-obsessed in America, I'd have to say the NFL.
Now, you're too young to be, like, to go to the polo grounds and all. I mean, back in
the day.
Yeah, so why the Giants? Why San Francisco?
That's a good one. Good job, Marcus. My father was a huge Yankee fan, and I'm an only child. And he was a huge Yankee fan, and he loved DiMaggio. So, number one, I got sick of talking about the Yankees and Joe D. He grew up in the 40s in New York, 1931 he was born. So anybody who's growing up in Flushing in 1940 is going to love Joe DiMaggio.
Right,
In 1968, he was a jewelry salesman, sold fine jewelry. And twice a year in the jewelry industry, they have these big conventions.
Yeah.
And in 1968, the second of that year, the convention was in Philly. And so we went down as a family. I was eight. We went down as a soon-to-be nine, and the Giants were staying at the same hotel that the convention was at, and they were making a trip in. In those days, they played those teams a lot more than the times they play them now, you know, different divisions. Mm-hmm. So they played the Phillies at Old County Mac Stadium, and they were staying at our hotel. So I got all the Giant autographs downstairs in the lobbies for basically three nights in a row when the Giants are playing Philly. So you're talking McCovey, yeah. Chris McCormick, Mike McCormick won the MVP that year, wow. Bill Mambo-Kent. Wow. And the only guy who I didn't get an autograph from, who didn't sign, was Willie Mays.
Wow.
Because
wow.
in 68, Mays was a Giant, and I became a huge Bobby Bonds fan.
Right.
Because Bobby Bonds came up in 1968 okay. for the Giants, and I just became a – he was – Mays a little too old. I was too young for Mays
yeah,
in his
yeah.
heyday because he was near the end in 1968, while Bonds and McCovey were just beginning. McCovey wasn't beginning, but Bonds was. Yeah, so those yeah. two became my Giant heroes, and that's where I became a huge Giant fan. I mean, I would watch – really up until 2010, 15 years ago, I'd yeah. watch every pitch.
Yeah.
Okay. No, middle of May, West Coast, 4 o'clock in the morning, the Diamondbacks. I'd be sitting there on the DirecTV watching Giant baseball. I've gotten off it a little bit since they won three times, but there was a good period of my life where you could not talk to me after a Giant loss.
Right.
I went to the World Series in 02, postseason games all over the place. I mean, I was a huge Giant.
Yeah, Mad Dog. I coached Russell Ortiz with the school, with the middle
did
school.
Did you really?
With Chris.
You coached Ortiz. And
basketball. In basketball. Russell was a good yeah. all-around athlete, good basketball player, but he and Chris were in middle school together out of the Valley. So, yeah.
But, you know, deal. That again, that's the famous one in 02 when Dusty, for whatever the reason, took Ortiz out when he's pitching yeah. a shutout in game 6 in Anaheim, up 5-0 in the bottom of the 7th inning. He took Ortiz out. We ended up losing the game 6-5.
Wow.
And that's game 6, 3-2. The Giants are ahead. That was a killer.
Chris, growing up about 8-9 years old, I got him hung up on that song. We're talking baseball, especially Willie. Mickey and the Duke. Yeah, we'd sing that all day long in the car in the old time.
Dad, Terry Cashman's in the Baseball Hall of Fame for that great song.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He wrote the song.
Campanella, the
kid.
The scooter, yes. The barber, and the dude. Anyway,
knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Especially Willie.
Yeah,
Mickey and the dude. No, that was our song. We sang it over and over again.
Over and over.
Yeah, yeah. But so we're talking about these all-time greats. We got three all-time greats potentially come in the league right now, Shea and the Joker and our guy Giannis. Let's talk about our guy Giannis right now, and just your take on everything that's Giannis. I mean, you know, the desire to win a second championship. Can it happen in Milwaukee? Dame Lillard and the Achilles. Your take on Giannis and this whole situation, Mad Dog.
Well, first off, I hope he stays there. I think there is something to the idea that you start your career in one place and you finish your career in one place. You know, I think that helps Jordan in relationship to LeBron, since LeBron, Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, Lakers, and Jordan played his whole career in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, Bird played his whole career in one spot. Mark, did you play your whole career with the Bucks, Marcus? Did you finish up somewhere else?
Basically, Clippers the last.
Oh, Clippers the last.
I got you hurt my neck. Yeah.
I just think there's a little cachet.
Right.
When you can play your whole career in the one spot. I hated the way it ended there in the Indiana series. They no way should have lost. We all know game 5. I mean, that was, you know, they got a huge lead. And, you know, and Trent made those mistakes, and he had a great game, which killed us. But as far as just a relationship to a city, and that's a great sports town. You know, Kareem won a championship there. They had great teams with your father there, Chris, with Don Nelson coaching the ball club. Then of course with Glenn Robinson and Allen and Cassell and all, I would hate to see him leave. And you know, Giannis has got at least what six to seven good years.
Years
he's
yeah.
30, six yeah. to seven really good years left.
Yeah.
So he'll probably in this day and age, you know, they'll probably work out some sort of trade because these players can dictate that. And because you know, we've seen Harden do it, we've seen Kyrie do it, we saw Durant do it. I that bothers me. I'm an old-fashioned guy where I like to see – he's got 2 years left on his contract. I like to see him fulfill it. But he's fun to watch. He plays his rear end off. You know, I like to see him be a little bit at the free throw line, knocking his free throws. But he's fun to watch. He cares. He's a good guy. I would love to see him stay in Milwaukee, but I'm not sure if they can win. They can put the pieces together because you need a couple of guys, you know. And if Lillard can't play, I don't know where Milwaukee's future is. So we shall see. But I would love to see him. And I love that town. Town's a good sports town. They got good fans. They support you when they show. When you win, they're going to support you. The Brewers draw well. We know about the Packers. The Bucks have always been a, you know, Oscar and Kareem. I mean, that's all you need to know. Won the title.
Yeah.
I have UB on a lot. UB loves Milwaukee. And, you know, coached there in his first big year in the NBA. After they won a championship, UB Brown finishes his career doing that last game with the Bucks this year. So I would love to see him stay.
Mad Dog, all time. You had mentioned Giannis wasn't in the same ballpark as a Dr. J, but all time, where do you see Giannis, his ranking, and how does he move up those rankings as far as further establishing his legacy?
That's a good point. You know, you're right. He is a little bit like Julius. I did say that somewhere, Chris, maybe on ESP, maybe on First Take. I did mention that.
That's what LeBron said. He would score 250 points in a game.
Oh, that's what I got.
Yeah, that thing.
Let's put it in context. Yeah.
You know when I had Barkley on last Friday on radio, and this is why Bird annoys me, and your dad would know him, and I was glad the Bucks swept them in 83 with Marcus on that team. How about Bird when he got into the fight with Irving, and he said – and the reason that fight began is because Bird was saying, get this old man off me. I'm going to score 60 tonight. Larry, he's Julius Irving, okay? Yeah. Have a little class.
Sure.
And Barkley said that he had to break it up, and Stern fined him $5,000 for instigating the fight. And he said, all I try to do is get Malone the hell out of there with that whole big skirmish that Bird and Irving had back in November of 1986. Listen, I think that Giannis – I don't know if he's going to be top 10. You know, top 10, you got to put the centers in there with Kareem, Wilt, and
Russell.
You're going to put Jokic in there one of these years, too. I mean, okay. Jokic is that good.
Shaq?
I don't think Shaq is. I'll tell you somebody who's Moses Malone to me is incredibly underrated.
Yeah.
He's got three MVPs. Yeah. And I love Olajuwon. So, I mean, listen, Giannis is going to be probably somewhere in that, you want to say somewhere between 12 and 20. Mm-hmm. Depends, dealer's choice, somewhere in that scenario between 12 and 20. Because, you know, you got LeBron and you got Jordan and you got Bird and you got Magic. You got the centers. You got West and Oscar.
Yeah.
Here's one. Well, you know, let's not forget Elgin Baylor. Let's not forget Elgin Baylor.
I never do.
How great Baylor was. You know, he got hurt. He hurt his knees.
Yeah.
So he lost a little of that jumping ability.
Yeah.
But Baylor was – I had him in studio once too. Yeah. He was an all-timer. But Giannis is going to be in that category. But, and you know, does he need a second championship? I mean, he scored 50 points. What do you have, 50 points and 20 rebounds?
50.
Phoenix. I mean, you know, he is an all-time great. I mean, you know, we're quibbling on where we're going to put him. And, you know, these all-time greats, you know how it goes. The older player gets removed pretty quickly for the younger player.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Magic, Bird, and Jordan, and the three centers, Russell, Wilton, Kareem, always got to be there. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Weston Oster, maybe. You can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But Bird is so good. I mean, Magic... five titles. Yeah. I mean, it changed the sport. 6'8" point guard, and then Kareem Wilton and Russell, and Jordan to me is number one all time. So those six to me are always going to be in the mix.
Yeah.
So then you only got four or five spots.
Right. The
10th guy, and let's not forget about Duncan. You know, Duncan's an all time.
Yeah. Kobe. Forget about him either. Well, Kobe. What about Kobe?
And Kobe.
Yeah.
You forget about that. Jeez. Exactly.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And so when you do them all, where do you stick Giannis in? But he's going to be top. He's going to be somewhere in that, to me, somewhere in that 12 to 20 range. Take your pick where you want to put him.
Well, and so bad luck.
As a guy who wants to.
This next question, because you've spanned the decades like I have. You know, you're a couple years younger than I am, 4 or 5 years younger than me. But I was walking through our practice facility. Giannis was working on his three-point shooting. So as I walk by him, he stops me and he says, "Hey, old school, I was looking at your stats. You were not a very good three-point shooter, were you? So I said, well, Giannis, in my day, the object was to get closer to the basket, not further away. So we put more of a premium on mid-range scoring and mid-range efficiency. And so he kind of, you know, kind of blew. But so Anthony Edwards made a similar comment about Jordan and how his three ball. In terms of guys and their games, how they would translate today, where are you on this debate? I mean, you got some guys, current players, current fans who think that guys from my era would have no chance today. But then you've got to keep in context about the weight training and the psychological advances and the therapists that are there full time to help you deal with some of the stresses and pressure. So I don't know where are you at on this debate today?
I tell you one thing that they got to. I tell you one thing. Your old man played 82 games a year.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, he don't play in 58, 59 games.
Right.
And Marcus's day, when there was a game maybe played, you played the game. You know, yeah. I had Jaminski on during the NCAA tournament. We had him in studio for 2 days. You know, his career high, I'll bring this up and then we'll get back to Mark, your father's question, Chris. In his career high in April of 86 was 42 points and 22 rebounds. Mm. Right? He did it against the Celtics. So we have gone back to look at it. That was the Celtic team with Walton, Parrish, that great Celtic team, one of the great teams of all time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were you still playing in that year, Marcus?
I was comeback player of the year. Bill was sixth man of the year in 1986. I was the last comeback player of the year in 1986. What am I claiming?
How about that? I didn't even know that. So I'm glad I brought it up. Anyway, so that's a great Celtic team.
Yep.
Do you know there were two games left in the season? The Celtics were something like 65-15. No need to play the games. You know, do you know that Bird played 37 minutes.
Wow.
Walton played 31 minutes. Parrish played 34 minutes. And McHale played like 33 minutes. Can you imagine guys doing that today?
Never.
The two games to go in a season, they clinched the one seed, and they're out there playing, and the game was in New Jersey against the Nets, and no one was even at home. And those guys are playing. So that's the first thing that people have to realize.
Yep.
Your old man went out there and played 82 games.
Yep.
He didn't play 55, 58, and plus the travel.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking commercial. You're talking sitting there and getting flights up early in the morning. In certain situations, not flying first class.
Mm.
They're not talking about, I mean, and Jaminski made a good point to me. He said, you know what the big advantage was for Detroit? They were the first team to have a team. They were the first team to have a team playing.
Charter, yeah.
Yep, yep.
They were the first team. So the 88, 89, those Pistons teams had their own plane. He said it made a huge difference in a guy's productivity in a course of his season.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the player today doesn't realize.
Yeah.
You know, when the Bucks play a game, they have it. You know, they get on a plane after the game. They go to the next city. They have a day off. My era, Marcus is here. That didn't happen.
I
mean, you played three games in three nights in three cities, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And your numbers are gonna. I mean, number two, you didn't have six trainers. You didn't have 5,000 assistant coaches.
Mm-mm.
You didn't have a minute. Yeah, I'll play. I'll play you 31 minutes tonight, Marcus. Don Nelson played him 44, 45 minutes, for crying out loud. That is a huge – you got to put that in and the younger fan doesn't do that. Mm. And that's – like my son.
Yeah.
He's a younger fan. Now, I make him watch all the old stuff like Celtic City, so he has a sense of it. But the younger fan doesn't understand that aspect.
The context.
Of watching the NBA.
Yeah, the context.
Doesn't get that context. Marcus's teams would have a chance to win a championship.
Mm.
You got to remember who he lost to. I mean, he lost to the Sixers in 82, 83. That was a great, great team. He lost to the Celtics a couple of times. Great, great team. Seattle, they're the only one to won championship, got the back-to-back championships, you know, with Gus and DJ and Sigma.
Yeah.
Lonnie Shelton. And that was a very, very freaking good team.
Johnny Johnson was the bane of my existence. Even at
Johnny Johnson, who was a good player, was a good player.
Yeah.
Plus, you had their downtown Freddie Brown. Let's not forget that. He's out of Iowa.
Yeah,
good player, good shooter, and everything else. That Buck team would have a very good chance. That Buck team that Marcus was on, and you can pick the year. Marcus can pick which one was the best one. I'd have to go back and look at every roster. This is not 40 years ago. But that team could definitely win a championship today. No questions about it. They were that good. So I think you got to keep that in mind. when you're evaluating thing. And I am not big. To me, the three-point shooting, and it's all because of Curry. He's so good at it.
Yeah.
But it's gotten way out of hand. I mean, the Celtics in two games against the Knicks shoot 100 threes. I mean, they go 25 for 100 in the first two games of that series.
That's nuts.
I mean, 100 threes. And I'll tell you another team, I hate to say it. Remember that year that the Bucks lost game seven in Boston a couple years ago in the second round? Yep. What they shoot out? They about 55, 60 threes for crying out loud? these three-point shooting, it's crazy. It's way over the top. I understand it's all data. It's all math. You know, you shoot 40% from three, it equals 50, 55% from two. So I get it, but I think it's hurt the game. Like, as your dad said, inside, outside. You like a little balance.
I'm the same way. I
you
like
want
it too.
Balanced in your sports.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
the same thing with baseball. I don't want to see strikeouts and home runs. You know, I want to see some other things along the way. So
facts.
I think sometimes you go too much in the other direction when sports change. You know, football, now you can't touch the quarterback. So now it's too much the scenario where the quarterback dominates the game. Yeah. Basketball, you got to shoot three, so it becomes baseball, hit the ball out of the ballpark. You go from one extreme to the far extreme and never in the middle. And I think basketball's got some of that problem too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that's an interesting take. And baseball, the analytics, I won't say it's taken over the game like it's done in baseball, but it's definitely a lot of emphasis, maybe sometimes.
Yeah, and you haven't noticed, Marcus,
the human
that the people who do
missing.
Analytics never played the game? You haven't
never.
Noticed that?
all the time.
Mad scientists.
They're 24 years of age, right out of Harvard, and they drive to work in their swim bike just out of the shower with the sweatshirt on. They always say.
Pimples and braces and all the whole thing.
Looking at a computer.
It's skinny jeans. Skinny jeans. The whole night.
Never heard of Dave Myers.
Exactly. Crash Myers.
Great
listen, listen, man. So when I played with the Clippers, the year Patrick came out, 84, 85, whatever that was, the draft, we were just on pins and needles, Chris. Like, we got a chance to get Patrick Ewing. This is going to change this franchise around. All of a sudden, the alleged heated envelope or whatever it was that they say David Stern was led to. Patrick goes to New York, which is a perfect fit. Not, I got to argue with that. I think Indiana had Tisdale at number two, but Oi Benjamin came to us at number three. This year, Mad Dog, Dallas.
You drafted Benjamin. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We drafted Bodoy. And boy, do I have stories to tell you about Bodoy Benjamin. But who was actually a really, really talented ball player. Just his first day in L.A., Carl Scheer had me and Norm Nixon come down to the sports arena to meet him, Mad Dog. And Bodoy, the first thing he said to me is, man, hey, man, call up Kareem. Tell him I want to play him some one-on-one. This is like June or July. Bodoy, Kareem is, you know, probably in Hawaii. No, well, call him up, man. Tell him, meet me at the park, man. I want to play him some one-on-one. I was like, you know, so that gives you an idea where his mindset was. But wow. do you think the draft, something needs to be done with teams like the Wizards and the Jazz?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I mean, don't you get the idea that, and I know it's fictitious, but don't you get the idea that sometime in middle of January, our buddy Mr. Silva went to Nico Harrison and the Mavericks and said, do me a favor. LeBron's leaving. We need a star in L.A. He smokes too many cigarettes anyway. Why don't you get Luka to L.A., and I'll make sure you get the number one pick in the draft and get Cooper Flagg. I mean, me, something is wrong with the sport when Utah, Washington, and Charlotte, three teams with the worst records, you know, have the fourth, fifth, eighth, whatever picks they have. I mean, that's not right. I mean, that's not the way. And see, the NBA tries to solve the tanking problem by doing the lottery. How about we just make sure teams don't tank and doing it some other way?
Right.
I mean, you know, when Kareem got drafted, Colangelo told us this story, and Marcus would know. When Kareem got drafted, Milwaukee was the worst team in the East. Phoenix was the worst team in the West. They had Walter Kennedy was in the New York, the league offices. Colangelo called heads. They flipped a coin, and they flipped the coin first to see who would make the first pick, who would call. Did you know that? They flipped the coin twice. The first time they flipped the coin to see who would make the call. Okay, who gets to call what they want to call? Flipped it, Phoenix won. Flipped it again, Phoenix called heads. It went tails, and Kareem went to freaking Milwaukee, and Neil Walk went to Phoenix, for crying out loud.
That's crazy. So,
I mean, I think it's – listen, I don't know what the solution is, But I think it's a problem. I mean, I really don't like it at all. 1.8% chance to win the lottery. Mm-hmm. Atlanta last year, 3% chance wins the lottery. San Antonio, which won with Wembanyama, they get the second pick. I mean, really? I mean, and I understand they're doing this for a reason of trying to make sure teams play the whole 82 games. That's a sad state of affairs right there.
It is.
We're making sure we have a lottery so everybody's going to earn their money and play every game the proper way that they're going to play the game. Football doesn't have to worry about that because you can't go on a football field not giving your effort. You're going to get killed. You're going to get hurt.
Right.
So football doesn't have to worry about that as much. Baseball, there's not as much drama with the number one pick because you never know if you're going to be a baseball star because it's so hard out of the minor leagues. Basketball is the one that's got this issue, and I hated it. I mean, I really didn't like it the other night. I joked around yesterday that I did a first error. I did that with my man about it. I picked. And I did that because I know Stephen A. would fight me off on it, and that's what I wanted to do. I said, we got to change the lottery. This is stupid. Yeah. And he went nuts on it. But that bothers me. I hate it. Yeah. I don't like the idea that the three worst teams, legitimately bad teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how it is in the NBA. It's only about four or five guys who are transformational players. I mean, you know, it's the one guy can change the fortune of a franchise, and that terrible team sometimes doesn't get a chance to draft them, and Dallas gets them. So I was annoyed by it. I don't know how you solve the problem, but I was annoyed by it.
All right, you mentioned our guy, Stephen A. Smith. I had a chance to work with him at Fox Sports for
did you really, years. Marcus?
Yeah, that? Man. Well, they would always like they'd spring him on me at the last minute because they knew he caused me all kinds of angst. Everything I would say, you know, you have no idea what you're talking about, Marcus. You sound like a coach right now. You know, the fact of the matter is, AJ, he would get on my last nerve, and I hated the guy. I mean, but they would never tell me in advance he was going to be with me. Analyzing the game, it would always be at the last minute. Yeah, Stephen A's going to join him. Like, oh, what? You know, but the thing is, Bagdad, we were in New Jersey. The Lakers were playing the Nets, and so I got stuck out in New Jersey. Had to get back to downtown Manhattan, and the only guy that was still there that I could ride with was Stephen A. Smith.
Wow,
and this is at the height of my hatred for him. And so he's like, Marcus, you need a ride back to. I was like, yeah, I guess, man. I'm going to Brooklyn or wherever to see my mom. Blah, blah. Come on. So I jumped in his BMW, had the greatest conversation. He was the nicest guy. I fell in love with him. We just clicked right then and there. And so so that a lot of that animus left me. But now we're talking about Stephen A. Or he's talking about running for president. Your thoughts
on that's
well,
not
you don't think he'll, you know, so no, yeah, okay.
And
so
the New York Times did a big lifestyle story today. Did you guys see that?
We saw it.
I was just going through it right before I was coming on with you two. So I mean, you know, I saw him. We talked a bit yesterday because he was in the studio. Sometimes he's not in that studio. You know, he's down in Miami or he's on the road or what have you. I think he loves the publicity for it, and I think Steve loves the attention, like all great media people. You know, you don't think I like the attention too? I mean, this is why you do this.
You
want people to know you. You want this is why you do it. But I would be surprised, Marcus, if he went in that direction.
Really?
I really would. You know, he just signed that long-term contract with, as you guys know, with ESPN. He's got the TV he does with the General Hospital. He loves that. He did the NCS. He did the New York NCHI, whatever that show is called.
Yeah.
He just did a big episode with that. He's got his podcast he does. He's producing some documentaries. He loves the NBA. He knows how important football is. I mean, does Stephen A. in the middle of August get a little bored? Like we all do. Does Stephen A. on a February 9th, not want to have to go in there and scream and yell for 2 hours on something that is nonsensical, like you sometimes have to do if you're a host in the media? Sure. But I would be really surprised. You know, I do think he's got the backing. I think he could find backing, and the Democrats need a candidate.
Yeah.
But I would be shocked if he ever did it.
If he did run, does he have a chance to win? If he did run, would he have a shot? I don't know.
Why not? Whoever thought Trump would win.
I know I did.
That's my point,
when
man.
When Trump in 2015 said, I'm going to run for president as a gag, did you think you're going to have two terms with Donald Trump?
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, in America today, I wouldn't put it past anybody to be the president. But if you're asking me, do I think he will? I don't think he would.
Okay.
Now, listen, I see him one day a week. I can communicate with him. you know, I communicate via text. You know, he knows my family. You know, right. He went on with Colin about 2 months ago. He did it as a favor. Mm-hmm. I have a good relationship with him. It's weird. You know, I'm a little old. I'm 10 years older. You know, Marcus, same thing with you. You're like his big brother.
Right.
I'm in the media. He was a young kid listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, and he was, you know, 20 years old back in the late 80s, early 90s. So I think that has – he was born in 67, so you know, he was 22 years old. So think about that. And, you know, I've been on a long time, and he's the reason why I'm on that First Take. So when you get – he looks at me almost as a mentor is too strong, but he looks at me as almost a confidant.
You know,
as a guy that is, I think he looks at me a little differently than he would say, look at, you know, Jay Williams. Now, he loves Jay Williams.
Sure.
But, I, you know, since I've been in the media for so long and he's been in the media.
Sure.
There's a little symmetry between the two of us. And I've asked him about this. He did tell me he had the backing. But again, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. I would be shocked. You know, he loves to travel. He loves those. He's got those two daughters. He's got the place now down in Miami, and he loves that. He loves the warm weather. He, I think he'll be happy. He doesn't have to do the NBA countdown because they're going to bring in the TNT people for next year, Barkley, Shaq, and Ernie, and Kenny. So he's not going to have all that responsibility. But he signed a 5-year deal north of $100 million.
Well, that's a good reason not to run.
That's a great reason not to run.
Before
we let you go, final thought. Your son Colin, how proud are you as a father? He's following in dad's footsteps, and just kind of what's your feelings about him and his the beginnings of his radio career.
I think the good thing about having a kid doing what you do is you can talk to him every day.
Yeah.
Because he's on every day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, I will talk to him. Well, what are you doing today? What's your idea? He's got a partner. Make sure your partner feels comfortable. You know, talk about sports. He's the one who gave me the idea about Nico Harrison and Silver. You know, go Nico, trade Luca, and I'll get you the number one pick. Because he's cynical. He's cynic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The other thing about Colin is, you know, you can talk. He saw all the Celtic City stuff. I love that thing on HBO. He knows who Vince Lombardi is. You know, he's heard of Marcus Johnson. He knows who John Wooden is. You know, he knows who Bobby Knight is. And to have a kid, and he's only 23, to have a kid that you can have that sports relationship with, you know, is something that, you know, he's in sports talk. Is something that you know that you like, and you know you can't. I got 3 other kids, and one of the other ones isn't into sports, so it's a different relationship.
Yeah,
sure. I don't talk to him every day.
Sure.
With Colin, I talk to him every day, so you feel it's a little different. Like you two, I mean, you got other 100%. Kids, Marcus, besides Chris?
Oh yes, yes, I do.
Yeah, there you go. So, but you see him all the time, so it's a little different. It's not like you love him more.
Right.
You love the other kids as equal. But I mean, you see him more, so there's more, and it's the same thing with me and Colin. I'm proud of him, though. I mean, here's what I'm proud of, and you guys trust me on this because you know me. I know how hard this field is. I would never do it. He got this job in West Palm Beach all on his own.
That's what
I had nothing to do with it.
All on his own, man, dog. Come on, dog.
I swear to God, you know. He worked with the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Carmen Brands has a station in Madison. He went there when he was a sophomore. Worked the board. Did all those menial jobs, would show and do the board on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. after a college kid on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. He applied for this job, you know, West Palm. They put him there. Now, I know a couple of people. We discussed it. Chris, what do you think? I think he can handle it. I discussed it. But he didn't get the job because of me.
Yeah,
I didn't put a call in. Hey, can you do me a favor? And I would never do that because that's not the way – I just don't think that's the way you should do it. You know, in this kind of profession, when there's so many kids who want an opportunity to do this, why should I, you know, I can help him. I can mentor him doing a show. But as far as I'm sure being Chris Russo's son helped, but he's got to get the job and he's got to do the job on his own merits.
Absolutely.
And I swear to God, that's the way I feel. And I have another coach. I have another kid who's a coach at Northern Arizona, the older one. And the same thing for him. I watch the games. I can, but I don't sit there and call. Got to hire Christopher. I wouldn't do that. Got to hire Timmy Russo. Let him survive and let him learn how to do this by himself. My father, who would have wanted to, didn't have the wherewithal to help me get a job in media, and I did it on my own. And I think you become better when you, you know, have mentorship, but make those logical steps solo. I think you think you're better off in the long run. It teaches you something.
Yeah,
it teaches
you something. For sure, for sure. Well, listen, man, we're gonna
I loved your old man, Chris.
I love him too.
He was such a classy player. Now, did you know Wooden was quitting before you played in that championship game, Marcus, or no?
Well, yeah, he told us Saturday after we beat Junior Bridgman in Louisville and Denny Crum and that crew. He told us right after that game. So we knew going in, and Andre McCarter from Overbrook in Philadelphia said, hey, there's no way we're going to let Coach Wooden go out and not win a 10th national championship. And we went out there and took care of Kentucky.
Did you have inklings in the course of the year that this could be the last year?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. We were totally blindsided by it, even though there's been some reports that he had shared it with a couple of people that that's what he was thinking about doing. And they'd already had Gene Bartow kind of, you know.
And you were you a freshman on that team or a sophomore?
Sophomore.
So you played for, and Bartow was a great coach.
Yeah. No,
Bartow was a good coach.
Yeah.
Very good.
52-7 over 2 years under Gene Bartow. Final four, lost to the Indiana team in 76. That was undefeated, 33-0. Quinn and Scott May and Ken Benson and that crew. So, no, it was.
In the final four. You lost to them in the final four.
Philadelphia, 1976, final four that year.
I know. We lost to them in the final four.
And then the next year, we got upset by
Idaho State,
who, 1977, my senior, who had three guys on that roster, Greg Cook, Jeff Hayes, and Greg Griffin.
You love that. You love validating that.
Who were all in the NBA that next season as rookies. All three of those
guys. Idaho State out of the Big Sky beat you the Orlando. Oh, my God.
Jim Killingsworth. Yeah. So anyway.
I did not know that. And Idaho State's in the Big Sky where Northern Arizona plays.
Yep.
Wow. And then you got drafted – you're the first pick by the draft. What number?
No, Kent Benson went number one. The Bucks traded Swin Nader to Buffalo to get the third pick. So I was the number three pick. Otis Birdsong was the number two pick to Kansas City that year. So 1977.
So you ended up, and did you have Nelson right away? Was Nelson your coach?
First full year as head coach. Loved him. He really broke the game down and taught me that the NBA game was totally different than the college game. And it was a lot of little nuances that he knew how to run in transition, little things that we could do to be more effective as basketball players on the NBA level. So he patterned us after the Celtics. We were like the Midwest version of the Celtics in terms of what Red Auerbach had taught him and Bill Russell had taught him and everything that he learned. So it was we had John Killian.
And that series against Seattle. You should have beaten Seattle you had a great team.
Up three two at home, Mad Dog. Up three two at home.
You lost game six with Lenny Wilkins. I know it was a close game. I think it was 89-87 or something. It was a close game.
Yeah. Well, 1 point game. So anyway. But look, man, we appreciate you so much. We're gonna let you get out of here. We know you got a whole lot of stuff to do, and it's been a real pleasure. And please come back and join us when you get
Marcus, anytime. Chris, great to be with you too. Knock him dead, pal.
All right. Chris Russo, Mad Dog, we thank you.
Yes, sir.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.